Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp 2. This is Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck around the virtual kitchen table, and I am here with my buddies. Hi, guys.
Hi, this is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton.
Hi, this is Reverend Dr. Bill Holton. And as you guys and gals know, we are the co-founders of an online ministry called the Global Center for Spiritual Awakening.com.
Yeah, and it's another beautiful day in my consciousness.
It's another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And it's another beautiful day in my consciousness.
Yeah, and so I have a website too, paulhasselbeck.com, where you can find my calendar. I'm supposed to be in Chesapeake, Virginia. And then what else is in there? Oh, the absolute word. That's right.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Which we do at the end of every show. So the virtual kitchen table has now moved to our own website, and you're going to be able to find us at bit.ly/metaromp. I'll repeat that, bit.ly/metaromp, and that's where you can also get onto our mailing list, and we can send you an email when everything is ready, set to go. We actually have a couple shows posted and ready to rock and roll. Are you guys ready to rock and roll today?
We are.
We're ready and excited.
So we're continuing our series on principles and law. We did principles quite a while ago. We've been dancing with spiritual law. And of course, spiritual law describes how mind works, little m mind works, and uses or depends on principle in some way or other. And the thing about spiritual laws is you don't have a choice whether you use them or not. You only have a choice of what consciousness you use them with. And so we have worked our way through them, and we're now to the law of generation, the law of generation. And maybe we might get to the law of give, and it shall be given unto you.
Ooh,
so, Cher, excuse me, Cher?
I said that'll be interesting.
That will be interesting. this law of generation ought to be interesting too.
Yes, so, it should.
You're such a good reader, Cher. I'm going to let you continue reading.
Perfect. All right, we are coming from Charles Fillmore, The Revealing Word. And he says, generation is procreation. The law of generation is undoubtedly the mystery of mysteries in human consciousness. Men have probed with more or less success all the secrets of nature, but of the origin of life, they know comparatively nothing. I'll finish reading, then we'll come back and discuss that. It is only when the inquiring mind transcends the human and rises into the spiritual realm that light comes.
Yeah. So the law of generation is undoubtedly the mystery of mysteries in human consciousness. Now we got to remember that Charles was probably speaking this rather than writing this sometime in the 30s. Or maybe even the 19th.
That's right. That's
20th,
true. Yes.
Right? Uh-huh. So this is all about sexual reproduction. So they use the genteel word procreation. And we got to say that humankind has been probing with more or less success the secrets of nature. And we've come a long way, baby.
We have. In fact, at our recent spiritual cafe, we addressed the Adam and Eve myth. And
right.
Wrap that whole thing up with what science is now saying about where we actually could have come from. And even science does not agree on where they think life might have come from.
Absolutely. Absolutely. However, since we're able to do things like clones now and stuff like that, we at least know how to manipulate life and the mechanics of life. But actually where life comes from,
Well, and what's interesting about that, and of course we can't go into that with this particular podcast because it's a matter of time, of course, but I would like to give our listeners just a couple teasers on where quantum physicists say life may have come from. One is called our listeners can Google these to get more information if they want, but one is called the primordial soup theory. which is where life came from. Another is that human life could have started from lightning strikes, of all things, and there's science behind that. Another theory holds that the first molecules of human life may have met on clay. There's also a deep sea vent theory. Another is that ice itself may have been the catalyst for life on Earth. Still others say that life on Earth that were probably Martians, because some of the DNA and the amino acids that are the building blocks of life on Earth came from meteorites that came from Mars.
so that's one of the most recent things I actually was reading. Yes. I found really, really fascinating. However, all of those are talking about the origin of some sort of physical living form, or the building blocks, which are physical, that give rise to living form. And the realm we deal with in metaphysics or meta-spirituality is the realm of consciousness.
Yes.
And, scientists are just now dipping their toes into where consciousness came from. And we're running with the idea, since under natural laws or the laws of the physical universe, there are principles and laws. There must be principles and laws that underwrite, I think that's your word, Bill, underwrite consciousness. And so yes, that is what we're talking about. And this law of generation is really about a law, what Fillmore would put in the big basket, a law of nature. Law of nature. And so in that sense, it tells us how we create our physicality, but it doesn't tell us anything about our consciousness.
Exactly.
Right. No. And the second quote that's here, most of it's very similar to the first quote, but I'll just pick out a couple pieces of it from Mysteries of Genesis. He says the word Genesis means source or origin. It points to new birth and to the perfection of man in the regeneration. And then I skip down. In the matter of life, we discover that the clues given us by our own experience point to intelligence as well as force. And I think that's probably one of the keys here.
Yep.
In other words, life falls short of its mission if it is not balanced by intelligence.
Yes. Yeah, so the reason why the second quote here is, this is probably the origin quote for the citation and the revealing word, and this wraps it in the context. And that first sentence, the word Genesis means source or origin. It points to new birth and to the perfection of man and regeneration. So regeneration is that term we've certainly danced with a lot in the last year or so, and regeneration is about regenerating our Christ consciousness or our universal consciousness. And of course, I think the three of us now believe it's not something we're regenerating. We didn't fall from it. We didn't do something wrong, but more like it is something we are manifesting with more and more capacity and ability to do so.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of the, to use Butterworth's term, it's one of the outpicturings of our consciousness when you think about it.
So what is?
Our being here. As we talk about origins. A lot of mystics now are saying, folks like Emanuel Swedenborg and Casey, who are able to go in and out of quote unquote this reality and into alternate realities, that's simply a matter of consciousness. And that could very well explain our origins coming from one dimension into another through consciousness.
Yes. Yeah, so the bottom line is the context that we come from, or our basic premise is consciousness either precedes physicality or is simultaneous with physicality. And that those are just two options. And now we are no longer in the mind frame of new thought in many ways. And one of them is that physicality impacts consciousness and consciousness impacts physicality. So it's a two-way street. So this law of generation would be one of those that we really don't even need to put in the book in a way, because it's talking more about the laws of nature, which is not the scope of this book.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree.
And it relates to what Charles Fillmore says when he makes the statement that that God, quote unquote God, indirectly created the universe.
Yeah, so that's the clearest language that we've put to it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And what I would say is God is the universal principle that contains principles that we use according to spiritual law to manifest ourselves, consciousness, and physicality. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, that's the implication, but yeah. I'd rather go there than where some other folks are going in terms of this anthropomorphic deity forming us out of the soil. A man and woman, that kind of thing. I'd certainly rather be where we are than hold on to that old archaic belief.
Yeah, and that is one way in which we are majorly different from almost every religion I've ever studied.
Yeah.
In fact, I can't think of one that talks about it like we do.
No, in fact, part of our exploration was all the different, looking historically at the story of the first couple, and almost every religion, every culture has that kind of a basic story. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's a mythology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And an archetype.
And just to tease our listeners a little with this, what if the couples that we're talking about are the polarities that occur in manifestation?
Well, and so that would chord very well with what Charles said. Because he talks about thinking nature, feeling nature, could be seen as a kind of a polarity. And I'm forgetting what the other one is, but yeah, why not? So it's a metaphor.
You've got the eternal and the temporary. You've got the limitlessness and the limited, the infinite and the finite.
Yep.
All those couples.
Yep, the abstract and the formed and all of that. Which, while we're saying that, I meant to say this when you were suggesting to people to think about those things in relation to your spiritual cafe. However, people can find that on your website, right? You have your handouts posted, right?
Yes, and as a matter of fact, as we begin to wrap this up and pivot into our next segment, let me just say that when you go to our website, we have a white light paper, and we call it a white light paper because it's kind of like the corporate white papers that go into detail. We call them white light papers because they're meta-spiritual. But we've done an entire white light paper on this Adam and Eve myth, and we have it there for just $7. And we would love for people to go and take a look at that. Feel free to download it. It's full of more detailed information about each of the areas that Bill talked about there.
And where would they go to find that?
I'll tell you what, on bit.ly/metaromp, we're going to have a resource. We have a resource section, and it would be right there. I'll post it when we're done.
That'll be really good. And have you put that button yet to direct people from bit.ly to your bigger website?
That is coming. By the time they hear this, yes, it will be done.
Fantastic. Okay, friends, so it's time for us now to make our pivot, and we are now going to pivot to Bill's book, Reverend Bill Unplugged, Unedited, Unsupervised, and Holy Cow, I Don't Know How Cher controlled herself. And not
well,
wanting to.
I tried. I tried.
Actually, I joke about that. There hasn't been a single one here that I wouldn't have said, wow, that's really good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So, like I said, we're in Reverend Bill Holton's PhD, Reverend Bill Unplugged and Unedited, and we've been looking at various snippets. And so, Cher, where do you want to go today?
I would love to do spiritual practice on page 174. Did we start that last time?
We started a little bit, and I wanted to remind you. I think this is worthy of doing the whole thing. And if we don't get done today, we can do it the next program. Okay.
Great. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Because all we really danced around was too much theology and too little practice is trying to eat the menu instead of the meal.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. Right. That's where I thought we probably were.
Okay, so go for it.
All right, so following that, so we're on page 175, and this again, the book is also, there'll be a link to the book on that same page. Spiritual education, affirmative prayer, meditation, and other experiences. And let me just pause and remind our listeners that that is Bill's word he made up for the opposite of the experiences, which are the outer senses. Experiences are when we go within. Healing, developing our youth, a consciousness of giving, using affirmations and denials, kindness, compassion, unconditional love, forgiveness, practicing the Noble Eightfold Path, practicing the Hindu paths to self-realization, the path of liberation, the path of devotion, and the path of knowledge and philosophy. Whoa, this is quite a sentence. Practicing the Jewish paths of repentance, charity, and kindness. I'm not going to read the Jewish words. Studying Baha'i scripture, Salat, an Islam prayer ritual, Unity's 12 powers, integrating meaningful spiritual perspectives from other faith traditions, visualization, metaphysical interpretation of scripture, meta-spiritual teachings, conscientious study and application of scientific findings which complement the growing edge of spiritual perspectives, and loving service to others are just a few spiritual practices you may want to consider on your higher consciousness journey.
Woo!
Woo!
Yeah, that was quite a shopping list. And you know, so this is what it was reminding me of in the secular world is when I was applying for a job and they gave me the job description and it ended with and anything else your employer wanted you to do. Okay. So this would be, and anything else you find that's an effective spiritual practice.
Yeah. Right. Okay, so, and of course we refer you to our website for other spiritual practices.
No, wait. Don't just blow that off, okay? No, it actually says in the book, see the 10 volumes of spiritual practices on our website, theglobalcenterforspiritualawakening.com. So if you don't know a spiritual practice, there's no reason for it from this day on, because there is a resource.
Yeah, and there's plenty there. So not everyone is for everybody, but there's something for everyone there.
Right. And of course, that's the point, something for everyone.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Okay. So again, this is just a variety. In this whole paragraph, Bill's just beginning to share the concept. It's not limited by any spirituality. So not limited by any spirituality.
Right.
So that's why he mentions the Jewish and Islam and that kind of thing, that you can pull, and that's one of our beliefs, is you can pull best practices from a variety of faith traditions, bring them with you into your meta-spirituality, and find ways to use them to deepen your own spirituality.
Yeah, and so a really cool thing to do, if you're bringing a spiritual practice from a former tradition, a really cool thing to do is to reframe them and recontext them into where you are now in consciousness. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Right.
Which a lot of Unity did that for a while with a lot of the traditional Christian celebrations and what are we calling them? Practices. And they all have value.
And they do.
And as soon as it's like a repurposing of them or seeing them through a new frame, which is really, really important. In fact, just today, I wish I had saved it. I'm just going to talk about it just briefly. I was reading somebody's post in Facebook who obviously of a Jewish tradition, but is in Unity. And he was reminding his friends the wonderful practices that occur at this time of year in the Jewish tradition.
Which
is really about looking back and making atonement and repentance and reevaluating your year, which we kind of do in Unity at around New Year's. However, it wouldn't hurt to do it again now.
Right. Mm-hmm. The whole burning bowl, the idea of creating the things you're ready to release that are no longer serving you, and actually having that ritualistic burning of it. It's a symbol. It's symbolic of letting things go in your life.
Yes.
And it's a beautiful ceremony.
Yes, and I'm not even remember what Jewish holiday it is. It's in preparation for something coming up shortly. Anyway,
I know, but I don't know how to pronounce it, so I'm not.
Yeah, so we're not even going to try, right?
Right. I know another Jewish tradition that we've adopted that I just have always loved is the mezuzah at the door.
Yes.
So we have a beautiful plaque that is an om.
It's oh, nice.
A plaque of the om symbol. And we just, it's just a matter of, you don't even have to touch it. You see it. And it just reminds you to go in peace and come back in peace. And
wow.
Just that settling moment.
That reminds me, I actually had a mezuzah in the entrance of the door of my office at work. I need to go back through my stuff. I need to get that out again.
Yeah. And
put that up. Okay. So I think that's probably a good place to stop. And why don't we pivot now to the absolute word. And as you know, the absolute word is based on Sunday messages appearing in Daily Word. So copyrighted Unity publication has been used with permission. So this comes from Sunday, September 23rd, 2018. And the words were, let go, let God. I turned it to release fear, express divinity. Release
nice.
Fear, express nice. Divinity. And if you want to see the actual text of it, it's posted in my blog, which is found on my website, paulhasselbeck.com. And I call it the absolute word. So the words are, release fear, express divinity. I release fear and express my divinity. Each day brings new adventures and opportunities. Keeping up with the schedule I compile for myself each morning could become a challenge as the day unfolds. Facing challenges and making the wisest choices are essential elements in fulfilling my spiritual beingness in this human form. Every loving choice I make represents another opportunity and step in my transformation. My transformation contributes to the transformation of this world into the higher dimension that Jesus Christ called the kingdom of heaven. With every challenge I face, I remember these words from Colossians 1:27, the Christ in you, the hope of glory, which means universal principle in me, my hope of glory. I gently release fear-based thoughts and my adverse ego and use my divinity, universal principle, to be loving as I manifest my highest good. I release fear and express my divinity. Or I could have written, I release fear and express my universal principle or universal consciousness or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So any comments on that, guys?
I really like that. And I love that in replacement of let go, let God, that it really brings it into our belief system.
And that's what I'm trying to do. And I just got tired of doing what we had always done in Get Over It, one of our books, when we changed Let Go to Let God to Leash Ego, Unleash Godness. Mm-hmm. So I could have said Leash Ego, Unleash Divinity or something like that. But I just wanted to do something more specific. What are we releasing? Well, fears. Or thoughts related to fear,
exactly.
Right?
And I love that because fear is incredibly powerful if we allow it. If we give it power, it can just kind of consume our awareness. And so it's very important to acknowledge it and take power over it.
Yeah, so my experience when I have fear is I contract down around it. My thoughts limited, mm-hmm. my solutions are limited. Yep. And it's almost
paralyzing.
It's paralyzing. I go into like fetal position.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And so we have to first... For acknowledgement is first, right?
Right.
Awareness leads mm-hmm. to self-knowledge. So I want to acknowledge it, and I want to find out what it is that's driving it, but so I can more effectively be this spiritual beingness that we talk about.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And fear has no power. It simply usurps the power that we give it.
Right. We empower everything mm-hmm. and then act like we're not doing it, right? that is the joke we play on ourselves when we say
true.
fear has no power over me. We're the ones giving it power, but we act like
exactly.
we did. So it's about
that's why the last part of your affirmation is so important.
So
not only
it.
Do we release fear, I express yes. my divinity.
Absolutely,
that's where I put my power.
Absolutely. We want to always put our power in an acknowledgement in our divine nature. So this brings another episode of Metaphysical Romp 2 to a close. I am, of course, grateful for Unity letting me to rewrite the Daily Word. I'm grateful to my buds, Bill and Cheryl Holton, and I'm grateful to my listeners, our listeners, right? Right, guys?
Yes.
We are very grateful. We're grateful for you as well, and grateful for this opportunity for us to work together because it's so much fun, and we're glad our listeners are enjoying it as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. All right, so for now, make it another beautiful day in your consciousness. Until next time, bye.
Bye.
Ciao.